Welcome to Beyond the Beats. My name is Samir Singhal. Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 9. We're getting really, really close to that 10th episode milestone. And of course, we always appreciate you guys tuning in and joining us for another week here on the podcast where we go into EDM news and culture. This week, Alec and I, we have a great show, man. It's pretty exciting. You know, we got a lot of great new music from the likes of Illenium, and we got Joyride, we got Umek for some techno, and then the news and culture section, Zoo and Disclosure, who are working on an interesting collab. Got Arl Grime, who just announced a new artist on his label, Sable Valley. Beyond Wonderland just happened. That looked amazing. Alec and I actually got a chance to go out to go see Chami here in New York. Then, of course, we got our anti-plur moment. We got the What Are We Listening To with some awesome releases that have just come out this week. We're very excited to be talking about them. And, of course, we got the artists that we're watching section. Whew, let me catch my breath. Alec, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing well, doing well. It's been an awesome, crazy week, as you know. If you guys have been keeping up to date with the socials, I was actually back in New York. I was back in town. You can see my good friend Samir. I was here for business, mixed a bit of business with some pleasure. So we've got a great, great update for you on that front. It was just an awesome week with so much to do and so much to talk about.
Dude, it was really great seeing you, man. I was super pumped when you texted me that you were coming out here for work. Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been too long.
I'm glad that we made Chami work out, you know, for the Thursday. I know it was a Thursday night and, you know, we both had work the next day, but we made it work. We had a great time and we'll get into it as we get further along into the episode.
Definitely, definitely, man. I mean, that was, I've got to say quickly, that was probably one of my favorite sets that I've seen.
Completely, completely agree, dude, without a doubt.
Definitely. But, all right, let's jump straight into it because I know we got a lot of stuff to get through here. Illenium's Prey, what do you think about that?
All right, so I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Illenium had come out with that song Crashing, and then last week, we talked about the remix package that came out for that song Crashing by Illenium and Bahari. You know, there was some teasing going on for the past 2 weeks that Illenium has a new song called Prey with this person, with the vocalist Cameron Alexander. People were not too happy with Crashing, including ourselves, but they were saying, just wait for this new song, Prey. You're going to love it. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a great release this year. Compared to Illenium's older tracks, it's still not at the top of my list. I think that it's a little bit slow, and the lyrics aren't necessarily as catchy. Like, I can't imagine, like, everybody, you know, kind of singing along to this song, which Illenium is great at doing. But this song is still really great. Production is very clean. The drops sound good. The whole thing is just a really nice experience beginning to end. But when it comes to playing out live, I don't think he's going to play out the original version of the song. He's probably going to work on an edit like he does for a lot of his other songs. What did you think?
Interesting. You really don't think that he's going to play it out fully?
I don't think he's going to play this song out in its current, like, original version. I think he's going to be working on an edit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. That's a very interesting point because he does tend to do that, or at least he'll play, you know, maybe the first drop of the song and he'll have, like, an edit, right? Like, another artist that does that is Kid. He seems to do that quite a lot, too. Go back on topic. Yeah, I like the song a lot. It was definitely something, you know, it got me more on the bandwagon again of Illenium, as it were. This was more, I think, in line with what his usual style is. And, you know, I think, you know, it's tough for Illenium, and I feel kind of bad in a way because there's such high expectations now for every single release he has.
Oh, big time, dude. Yeah. This is going to be probably one of the biggest years for him, I think. He has made great headway in 2018. I think 2019 is going to be an even bigger year for him.
Unbelievable. I completely agree. So definitely go check that one out. This was something I was really excited about that you put on. I saw that we, you know, so listeners, we have show notes and stuff, you know, we plan out what we're going to talk about. Yeah. And Samir threw this on and I was like really excited about this remix of Knife Party's Centipede by, is it, here we go again with pronouncing DJ's names, is it how are you supposed to say his, I'm so sorry, how are you supposed to say his name? I don't know.
I think it's Tynan. Tynan, T-Y-N-A-N.
Yeah.
And we got Krilla.
Krilla's
well,
fine.
We're already fans of.
I can say Krilla. Thank you, Samir. But
I just thought you might need some help, dude.
Well, I really appreciate it here. What a supportive partner in crime. But Krilla.
Sure, brother,
this
sure.
was. What do you think about this one? Because I thought this was awesome.
Ooh, dude. This song was hard as shit. I mean, I love the original. I love Centipede. Really, I do. And I love a lot of like Knife Party's older songs, but this remix, while it's not as good as the original, it's hard to like, you know, remix a song and make it better than the original. This shit goes so hard. I mean, it slaps. I when I heard it the day that it came out, I put it on the Instagram story for at btb.pod. Just because I needed to show it some love and, you know, share with our followers. This is a good song.
Yeah, this was solid. And I totally agree with you that, you know, and I think in a way, you know, they kind of probably knew they weren't obviously going to make it better than the original, but it was just a cool song to remix, right? Like, I think they...
Oh, totally, dude, totally.
Definitely. So that was awesome. Definitely go check that one out, too. I love your little comment here on this next song. It was Zed's remix of Katy Perry's 365.
Katy Perry and Zed came out with a song called 365 together, right? It's one of those songs that was meant to be kind of radio friendly, you know, ready to hit the airwaves, ready for the summer festival season, which is going to be kicking off very soon, and we'll get into that later. But then Zed did a remix of his own song, so he did a remix of the song 365, and I gotta say, because Alec and I were kind of like, ugh, like this original sucks, I personally thought that this Zed remix was way, way, way better than the original song. Like, way better.
No, I get
a song that I would come back to and listen to again.
Definitely. Definitely on the same wavelength with you, man. I mean, I agree. You know, I think one was made more to be more mainstream. The other was like, okay, we're going to make this a little bit more electronic-y.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. Like, yeah, and I love the drop on it. It's like low key, you know what I mean? But it's still impactful. It's still powerful. I dig it, dude. I really do.
Yeah, I've been, there's been a lot of producers, seems like, who's, you know, doing a lot of those type of drops now. Is that just me, or does it seem like there's a slight uptick in those?
No, I think you're right, man. I think that these kinds of drops, when you listen to them live, are like super effective because like you have this like hype set, and then all of a sudden you just drop some low key shit out of nowhere, and I think like, you know, people really respond well to that. Like, it's like kind of a cool down period, but you're still getting a drop.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely something that you really need to hear more live, I think, because it's, you know,
totally agreed.
You could definitely appreciate it, but I think a lot of people who haven't seen a DJ do that, where it's a much more minimalistic drop, it's just the sound system, right? Like, that means that makes the whole difference to it. You know, it's designed.
That is a really good point, Alec. Yeah.
Right? Like, it really is a whole nother way.
Exactly. I think the song would be much more impactful live. I think you're absolutely right on that one.
Yeah, so maybe we'll end up, hopefully, see that song live sometime.
Oh, dude, I would totally see Zed again. He kills it every single time.
Yeah. Hashtag main stage.
Hashtag main stage. You can find Alec and I on the main stage, man. We're everywhere. you know, so we talked about Zed. Let's quickly switch over to an artist that we're huge fans of. We got Joyride doing a collab with this person called Gold, and it's called Yuck. Like Y-U-C-K, all capital letters, Yuck. Okay, so when it came to the rapping parts of this song with Gold, yeah, I will say Yuck, because I did not like those parts of the song. But you know, when it came to the drop, you got that signature Joyride creativity. The drop was smashing. Alec, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think you're just reading my mind here. I kind of agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, where it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, call me a little bit of a downer here, Joyride, but his last couple releases, I've liked, but not been like crazy about. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they're not on the same caliber as like a Hot Drum. Right. You know what I mean? Hot Drum or I Warehouse. No, like they're not like those, you know, but it's just, I think Joyride is growing as an artist, and he's trying to really, you know, invent his sound and fine tune it and make it maybe a little bit different from his previous releases, which I could certainly appreciate. But I'm totally fine with like electronic music combining with rap. I think it's great. You know, you're seeing the assimilation of two different genres of music like that. However, I just don't think that this song, you know, I didn't like the rap parts of this song. You know what I mean? It just wasn't for me.
There are some, you know, I agree with you here, and it's, I'm always careful because, you know, these are a couple songs, right? And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that he's experimenting. And I think he's experimenting in the right way. Like, he's doing it in a way that is conducive to his sound, to his growth as an artist. It's not too like out of left field.
Exactly.
You know, it's not quite like that Carnage song the other week where it was like completely like, okay, like what? And it wasn't even that great either. You know, no offense to any Carnage fans out there, because I'm sure there are a lot. You know, I think this is just like a step in the right direction. I can see what he's trying to do. You know, a person who's done, I think, a very, very good job of mixing in rap with electronic music is actually RL Grime. In terms of how
true,
the Nova, you know, he did that. That was like, it really worked very well together. I love that song Undo with Jeremiah. But anyhow, it's like, you know, I think what it's for me, it's not the fact that rap was in there. It's just the, you know, how it's, you know, matched together with the underlying electronic beat. And I think he got it maybe just a little bit off with it. But I like the attempt. And I like where he's going with it.
Agreed, man. Yeah, completely agree with you. Listeners, we're not rap haters. It's just that in some instances where artists try to, you know, combine two different genres like that, it doesn't work. And in this case, we didn't feel like the rap part of it worked. But, you know, this is like now the third single, I think, that's come off of his new album. And God, I hope he drops it soon, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think he will. It's interesting how artists do that now where they drop like one to three songs and then release like a full EP or album. Changing gears a little bit, Eli Brown. Yeah, this is someone that I've really kind of like growing on me. You know, I think some solid releases. Eli Brown just with this new song, Heartbeat. It really is growing on me. I like the style.
I like his sound too, dude. I mean, he's done a couple of releases on Tool Room Records, which I'm a big fan of. That's Mark Knight's label, and Eli Brown. He's just got some absolute bangers. I mean, I remember when we were, you know, at my place getting ready to go to the Chami show, I dropped an Eli Brown song for everybody while we were, you know, getting ready and getting just pumped up to go out. And, you know, people love Eli Brown. I like Eli Brown. I've heard a couple of his tracks live. I've never seen him live, but I've heard other DJs play his songs live
all
and
the
they
time.
Just go off. They always slap.
Yeah, you know, house DJs really do. He's like seems to be a favorite and really to play. But it's funny because
totally, dude.
I don't know if he's touring. I haven't seen. That's a very good point. I'm definitely gonna look that up afterwards because I'd love to see him mix. You know, because I have no idea what he would be like.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I would totally love to see him live. So, you know, that's Eli Brown's Heartbeat. Changing gears again, we got a personal favorite, DJ Snake. Well, Alex's personal favorite, DJ Snake.
I like him.
My dude, you are like, you're a huge DJ Snake fan, man.
What? Okay, no. All right, go on.
Anyways, so DJ Snake and Eptic did a song together, Southside. And, you know, when you sent me this song that was released, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I've heard this song before. In DJ Snake's sets, right? Like he's played this song out before. Am I correct
in saying
that?
He definitely has, you know. And DJ Snake is probably my favorite main, you know, stage, more mainstream act to go see.
True.
As well as like I do like seeing Zed and like Hardwell too. But you know, beside the point, like this song is absolute fire. Like, I mean, he's definitely played this a few
times.
It's a
banger.
I think he's used this, you know, probably where you've heard it from. I've definitely heard him use this as like a live edit, or he'll do like, you know, he'll switch the drops out with another song and put this in,
right?
You know, but it's good to see Eptic back on the board doing things. You know, I feel like I haven't heard as much hype around him, you know, in a little while.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like a couple years ago, he was kind of hot with a few, you know, he had a few songs, right? It's good to see him doing stuff, but this song is great. Definitely go check it out if you want some hype songs. You know, shout out to DJ Snake for it, because I think he's, you know, he's doing really well right now, to be honest. You give credit where it's due. Like, he's killing it right now.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, this is a good release from him, and looking forward to more, especially with the start of festival season happening. So, we got DJ Snake and Eptic, and now switching gears back again. Last song for the new music that was released, we have Umek. Hell yes, Umek with his new song, Brethren. And fuck, man. I mean, Umek always brings that pounding hard techno, dude. And this song does not stray from that formula, but the sounds that he uses are great. Production is clean. I mean, I could totally see a dark, grimy warehouse going off when the song is dropped. Alec, did you listen to it? I mean, what did you think, man?
I did listen to it, and you know, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned on a prior episode, you know, I'm
definitely
really, really big fans of Umek now. Like, I mean, and this song is just yet another reason I so badly want to go see them.
For sure, dude. For sure.
It was awesome.
So that wraps up the new music section, man. Let's go right into it. News and culture. Let's just start off this section by saying, guys and gals, whoever, We are so jealous you guys are going to Ultra and Miami Music Week. It kicks off this week. You guys are going to have an absolutely, absolutely massive time. We cannot wait to see the videos and the pictures and the successes of Ultra's new home on Virginia Key. But guys, have a great time. Please post your pictures and feel free to share them with us on our Twitter. We're at PodBTB or our Facebook. You can find us on Facebook or on our Instagram at btb.pod. But man, dude, our whole squad is like, we should be going, you know?
I'm
getting some tough FOMO right now. The pictures have been popping up in my, you know, in my picture hoster. Like, it's like, hey, remember where you were last year? I'm like, yeah, I remember where I was last year. You don't need to remind me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, it's shaping up to be a really good Ultra and Miami Music Week. Dude, you found this one here, right? Zoo and Disclosure. Like, tell me about this, man.
So this is, you know, hot off the printing press, as it were. Like, this was done today. Have to give a shout out to Run the Trap. I believe they were the first outlet that picked up on this, and
for sure,
Jordan Farley's the person. Like, really well done, because this was on Zoo's Instagram story, but it was deleted apparently incredibly quickly. So, you know, shout out for getting this done. But Zoo literally just posted, it was an Instagram story. We'll put the link to the article in the show notes, but you can see just on the story, it's a black background and just in simple white text, he just types out Zoo plus Disclosure next week they're dropping a collab. So clearly
that's,
it's all
gonna
done.
Be insane.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, I don't know why. Maybe this is just me being very hopeful here, but I feel like there's going to be more stuff, you know, announced for them doing stuff together. Because Disclosure, you know, recently announced they're doing a US tour, right?
They're coming to New York, yeah.
Exactly. Like, maybe at a couple stops. This is just very hopeful thinking, but maybe Zoo would be there, you know, for like a surprise appearance at a couple shows. I don't know.
That'd be pretty dope.
That would be awesome, because, you know, I'm just glad to see Zoo back in like the circuit, as it were, you know, like going around, because he wrapped up that other tour.
Yeah, he's very secretive and like very picky about where he plays. And, you know, it is cool to see that he's doing this collab with Disclosure, who that duo, dude, those guys are so, so talented. Like, all three of these people here are talented.
Yeah, incredibly so, you know, but I wish I had more on it, but that was literally just something, you know, as
Zoo
I was on
the way.
Zoo
is such a fucking mystery, man, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
I love that, though, to be fair. I love how low-key in a way, right? And the fact that it's like, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm releasing a song with like another huge, you know, duo.
Yeah, by the way, song with Disclosure's coming out. By the way, yeah, it's like, all right.
Yeah, like,
you don't need to show off, you know? But, yeah,
exactly, yeah, exactly. But another, like, you know, I think another, it's not a surprise necessarily. I think this has been probably on the radar of people more in the know, but Nightmare and ASAP Ferg, they just said that they finished the collab. It's what the music video is going to be. It's going to be officially out with the music video very soon. Have you heard it? He's been playing it at some of his sets recently.
No, you know, the thing is, I haven't really been keeping up with Nightmare's sets ever since we saw him like at EDC Vegas, and even when we saw him at Ultra, you know, do the Good Vibration set with Slender. But you know, I haven't really gotten a chance to really keep up with what he's been up to. Alec, have you taken a listen to it? Like, how's it sounding?
Well, it's really cool. Like, I mean, I like it. You know, I think it's something that is, you know, again, like, Nightmare's been doing a lot with, you know, he's been doing a lot with rap recently, you know, apparently, I mean, I'm looking at this and apparently he's been playing this out, this ID in some of his sets since November. And just now it's coming out.
All right.
Yeah, finally coming out. But you know what it is? I think because the song, you know, it's good, but it's definitely something I think he wanted to do with the music video, you know, because it's kind of one or more of those songs. But I mean, it's been a long, long time. And like, to be honest, I completely forgot about it, but he actually debuted it at EDC 2018, believe it or not.
Oh,
so it's been a long while, you know, I'm not entirely, you know, sure, but it was they changed the name. So he's calling it Red Light now. He originally called it Nightmare on Ferg Street.
Did you say Nightmare on Ferg Street?
Yes, Nightmare on Ferg Street, which is what this it was originally
called.
That is
awesome.
Yeah, so like he, you know, I think he played it out, but it's definitely a song like, you know, he's making it, it's going to be released alongside the music video, so there's like this visual component to it. So I think it's really more of an artistic venture on his end. You know, kind of like
right.
maybe in, you know, I see a lot of artists starting to do that type of thing now, releasing the music alongside that visual piece, right? Like Rez did that, you know, that mix a long
yes,
time ago.
Yes, the Halloween mix, yep.
Yeah, so yeah. like
Nightmare
I think this
on
is...
Rez Street, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm not sure if they're going to be doing more together in the future or what exactly this is about, because he hasn't really said too much. But it's now finally going to be out on March 28th alongside a music video. So definitely keep an eye out for that.
Hell yeah, dude. Pumped up to check that out. We'll talk about it next week on the show when it's finally released to give our thoughts on it. But Alec, this is huge. Beatport has finally added bass house as an official genre.
You know, it's funny. Until I came across this and I saw this, I hadn't even like thought about the fact that that wasn't, you know, a thing on Beatport. So I'm sure there's a lot of
right.
DJs out there who are like, finally. Because it's true. It's like, it's something yeah. that I just would have assumed. You know, I do get my music a lot from Beatport, but I guess I kind of go on and I know the songs I'm getting already, so I never really pay attention.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah. So I never pay attention to the... But this is something I think is definitely going to help a lot of producers and DJs looking to, like, you know, get new music, because it's definitely something I can see.
Right.
Like, now I'm interested. Like, I'm definitely going to go on and be like, okay, what's under the... What are they considering? That's what I'm actually the most interested to see, is what do they define bass house as being?
Exactly, dude. I mean, you made some really, really great points on why this is so monumental. You know, like, you know, I mean, I can imagine that. I'm not a bass house artist. I'm not really even a producer, but like, you know, an artist who produces bass house wants to get their music out there on Beatport. How do they categorize that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what categories do they use that as? And, you know, they have an overall vision. They have an overall brand for how they see their music. But if Beatport, one of the largest electronic record retailers in the world, is not recognizing a brand that has really come up these past 2 years, then I feel like artists are, you know, they'll feel very frustrated with that platform. So, you know, to all the bass house artists out there, I'm sure that they're very, very pumped up for this. It'll make also finding lesser known artists who tag their music as bass house, it'll make it easier to discover them as well, because Beatport also does charts for, like, you know, new releases of for specific genres and what's hot and what's trending and things like that. So I think this is just a great step.
Totally, totally agree with that. I think it's just, as I said, you know, I definitely, if I was, you know, uploading my music and stuff, that definitely would be a very, you know, I would not like that. I'd feel pretty inhibited if, you know, I consider myself a bass house artist and I couldn't even categorize it as that on a major, major platform for distributing songs.
Exactly. Exactly, man. Yeah, great, great find, Alec. Yeah, I did not know that. So awesome find on that, man. We got RL Grime, dude. So, I mean, he's got this record label, Sable Valley. You know, it started off with RL Grime and Graves. You know, they put out this song called Arcus, and we talked about a remix of the song Arcus a couple of weeks ago. We also talked about the launch of this record label. So just, you know, we're finding that RL Grime is a recurring theme in this podcast, but there's good reason why. There's good reason why, because he is constantly, you know, honing in his vision, adding in artists that he feels are going to fit the bill to be on this roster. And what a great addition with Jackal, dude, with Jackal. This is awesome. I'm so pumped up.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm so super, super excited to see, you know, the music that, you know, because clearly Jackal's got some music in his pipeline that he's going to be releasing at some point. I haven't really looked in too much, so I don't know when that could be. But what I really enjoy is seeing RL Grime, you know, pick some of these really more up and coming, you know, artists, I think, which is cool. Like, you know,
right on.
Right? Like, I think that's a really neat thing to do. He's not just going for, like, the already very, very well established. Like, this is good. He's really collecting a very interesting sound. Right. And I think it's revolving a lot more around that future trap, you know, sound. But it's like these are artists who are being very creative right now. You know, I know that you weren't entirely a big fan of Graves's EP. However, you know, you got to say that he's definitely a creative guy. So I do.
Totally.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see what goes on with Sable Valley.
Totally, man. Yeah, completely agreed. And while I may not have been a big fan of Graves, you know, new EP, you know, like we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, his creativity is pretty much unmatched by a lot of the up-and-coming artists in the scene. And Graves has some big things coming out. His sound may not be something that I'm personally into, but I know a lot of people are, and it's just really great to see people pushing boundaries. And even this new song that Jackal came out with, Christ, Person, Woman, God. So again, that's the name of the song.
Oh.
I'm not just saying random words. It's called Christ, Person, comma, Woman, God. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the name of this song, but it's a great song, and I've been listening to Jackal for about 3 years now at this point, maybe a little bit longer than that, and I've just always loved his music. So just very pumped up to see Jackal signed to such a great record label collective, and I'm excited to see what other artists Arl Grime is going to be bringing onto this, man. Like, this is huge.
Yeah, this is really big. You know, I think Arl Grime, I think, has, you know, really great taste. And I'm just incredibly excited to see what he's going to do with us. So just another, well done, Arl Grime. This is a great addition to the label.
Totally agreed, man. Totally agreed. I'm glad we talked about that. You know, we had talked about the start of festival season. You know, we had talked about that Ultra and Miami Music Week is literally this week. Listeners, again, we are so jealous, but you know, Beyond Wonderland just happened this past weekend, man. I don't know if you've been seeing videos, you know, on, you know, Instagram or searching under the hashtags or anything, but dude, you know, I've never really had much of an interest in going to Beyond Wonderland. You know, one of my friends did invite me to come out there and, you know, just go with him. And, you know, he was very much looking forward to it. And I'm sure he had a great time. Haven't gotten a chance to connect with him on it yet. But, man, you know, the videos looked like a lot of fun, man. It's great to see that, like, what anything that Insomniac and Pasquale Rotella, you know, the creators of EDC Vegas, it's great to see that whatever they put their hands into, it always looks like such a great experience.
Dude, you know, I've been saving this because I wanted to get your reaction live, but this is something that this might be alone a reason why I want to go next year, but you will not believe me when I tell you this, that there's this area they called secluded area called the Rabbit Hole. This is at Beyond Wonderland. If people who went, they'll know exactly where I'm going with this. And that's where a lot of, you know, kind of like how in EDC you see some artists come and do some surprise sets. Right? So,
yeah.
Person who did a surprise set and was not even booked to play the weekend was Cascade. And do you know what type of set he played? An entire length set. He played a drum and bass set.
Are you fucking kidding me right now, dude? Cascade?
Cascade. What? Played an entire drum and bass set. I know.
Oh my god. I don't even know what to say, dude. First of all, shout out to Cascade, man. The man can seriously do anything. You got Cascade Redux, you got his more mainstream name, Cascade, and now he's fucking doing a DNB set, you know, just randomly popping up at Beyond Wonderland, surprising everybody. It's such a big name in the scene. Man, I love that, dude. That is so sick.
I mean, you know, there are some videos on Twitter. Again, you can find this stuff in the show notes. I haven't been able to find like a recording or anything like that of the set, but isn't that unbelievable? So, fun fact,
that is so cool.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, it's just out of nowhere, and the fact that he wasn't even booked to play Beyond Wonderland at all, so no one even knew he was there, but he was just around, and he was like, screw it, I'll go play some drum and bass. Clearly,
that
he's a fan.
Is so dope.
Right? Like, you know, he has, it's funny, he doesn't produce drum and bass, but I did a little digging and I saw that he actually is credited with one D&B release, and he...
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
But he did it as this is back in the day, man. He went under the alias of DJ Radon in 1997.
Okay.
1997. Yeah. That's the last time that he's ever done anything with drum and bass. But I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like, I think that's such a cool thing.
That is so cool.
That's such a cool thing. Maybe at EDC, he'll do the same thing. I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah, you know, Alec, when we were at EDC for EDC Vegas 2017, Cascade did actually do a surprise art car set. I'm not too sure entirely what kind of set he did, but I mean, he wasn't on the lineup, but he did do a surprise art car set, which is like one of those small stages that kind of like roams around the stadium, you know, which is so neat. But it's cool to see that. I feel like Cascade and Insomniac and Pasquale Rotella have such like close connections with each other. It's great to see that, and it's great to see that Cascade is like doing something so dope for the fans. You know, I just love that about him.
Couldn't agree more. I just think that's such a, I think that's just such a cool thing that he did. Like, it's just so out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I love that, man. Thanks for telling me, man. I really had no idea. That is really sick.
Yeah, that was pretty
awesome. You know, switching gears, man. You know, we talked about Spring Awakening on last week's episode, but now that was the phase one lineup. But Spring Awakening has officially announced their full lineup, broken down by day. And Alec and I have expressed this in our last episode, but man, like, this lineup is just stupid. Like, it is crazy how good this lineup is, dude.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, again, like, is this something you would consider going to?
I would definitely consider going to this, you know, just as I think more about it, like, if we could, like, make this a weekend trip where I wouldn't have to take any days off from work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we were able to, like, you know, find a cheap place to crash or something. I would consider going to this. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just quickly going over it again. I mean, you've got, it's just unbelievable for the 3 days. And by the way, if anyone's, you know, thinking about going, it's Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 9th. So you should probably get on the ticket soon if you think about going. But you've got, you know, Bro Hug, Audion, Ghastly, Galantis, Shiba-san, Space Jesus, 1788L, Alan Walker, Destructo, Dombreski, Noizu, Rez, Spagheady, What's or Not, Yellowclaw, Crankdat, Hero Bust, Peekaboo, Troy Boy. I mean, Arm and Hammer. It's just what a great, great lineup. And just yeah. A great, I really like the array. Oh, and then of course, Mala, we have to mention him because we'll be mentioning him a little bit later. You know, it's such a great, you know, array of sound, you know, and that's what I like. I
think huge, dude.
Yeah. You know, obviously, there's not really any techno or anything like that, I will say, and it's definitely a more trap heavy than you know a lot of festivals are, but this looks like a really fun, you know, lineup to go see.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, I mean, you're going from people like Grizz to Martin Garrix, you know.
Yeah,
you're going from people like you know, like a Zomboy to a Zed. You know, it's like, this lineup is very, very diverse, and Spring Awakening, you guys have really just knocked it out of the park this year, and who knows, like, maybe we'll start to experience some, like, FOMO, and maybe Alec and I will just book a last-minute trip or something like that, you know?
we'll see.
It's so dope.
This is really cool. I mean, they do have the single day tickets, so, you know.
All right. That's something to think about now. Now I see where we're going.
Right.
And I do have a family that lives out in Chicago. But we'll talk about that offline.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. Let's see, man. Today, on the day of us recording this episode, this morning, I checked my Instagram and I saw a video. And Alec, I don't know if you've seen this video. Mm-hmm. I sent it to you. But Mala, right, our one of our favorite DJs, probably in the scene right now. Mala was, and I'm putting in air quotes here, listeners, quote unquote, arrested after a gig in San Diego. What happened?
I don't really know what to think. It just seems to me like a publicity stunt. I don't know. I mean,
big time.
You know, I think, yeah, I doubt that he was actually arrested. Like, I really like how he does all that type of those things, right? I mean, I'm blanking on it now, but what was that song he released where it was like a compilation of like all these like art, and he was like
Corrupt. It was Corrupt.
Yeah, like that was like, you know, and he was leading up to it and stuff. So, you know, I think he's just, you know, playing around with this type of stuff. But people have been going, you know, they're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, exactly. I've been seeing it posted on Reddit. You know, been seeing it picked up by multiple EDM blogs, people tweeting about it, people on Instagram talking about it, different accounts. Like, Mala, you know, we hope you didn't get into any serious trouble. We're sure you did not. You know, what a great publicity stunt. What a power move. It was really, really cool to see that. But man, you better be at your gigs, you know, for Miami Music Week and Ultra. Like, people are going to be mad disappointed if you're not there.
Can you imagine if this is like a real thing and he's like, I actually need help?
And we're out here joking around about it, like, oh, it's totally, totally fake, you know? And then like next week, it's like Mala was like not allowed to come back into the U.S. for some serious criminal charges or whatever. Like, that'd be insane. But I'm sure he is just a wonderful person, doesn't do anything wrong. You know, this is just a publicity stunt, but a really, really good one, and one that fits very well with this theme.
Yeah, definitely. It's just funny. Like, yeah, we'll see what goes on with that. But that was a really good find. I was watching it as I was, you know, getting ready to record, and that was just awesome.
And dude, speaking of Mala, what a great set from Chami, you know, at Analog in Brooklyn this past Thursday. I mean, dude, that club was popping, man. The vibe was amazing. People were dancing. The set was good. Like, I think Chami's focus for this tour, the ghost tour is what he's calling it, is focused on more like low-key venues, you know, getting it back into the clubs and just throwing down a fantastic set, not saying a word, you know, no intros, no, you know, any grandiose entrances or things like that. Came on, smashed it on the decks for 2 hours, and said thank you and left. Alec, and it was good seeing you too, man. What a great set, though. What a great night.
I'm just, you know, one, I'm glad that I was able to go, you know, with the chances of that, you know, happening when I was in town, you know.
Absolutely.
It was just unbelievable. It was great to see, you know, we had a whole squad, you know, go out. Well, not
dude,
everybody.
It was awesome
nearly
having a squad together, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was just great to go out again. And dude, that was just great seeing you, man. You know, I know it was a short trip, but definitely gonna, you know, try see, you know, some business clients out here more often. But I tell
for
you
sure,
what,
dude. Yeah,
yeah. I tell you what, man. But I was blown away by that set. Like, that was an amazing, amazing set.
It really
set.
Was.
Like,
really
was. Not only was the atmosphere and like the club was just, you know, that everyone was going off and enjoying themselves. It was just. It was just an amazing set. Like, I mean, it was just about, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I think that was my favorite Charmy set that I've ever seen.
Whoa, holy crap. Yeah, you know, oh man, I was talking to you know, our friend Alexis, who is probably the biggest Charmy fan that I know, and she had said a very similar thing, like, this is probably one of the best sets I've ever heard from Charmy, you know. But yeah, the set was really, really that good. It was a fantastic set.
It was unbelievable. And to be perfectly honest, man, I would go even further and, like, at a club. Like, that was one of my favorite sets I've seen, like, in a nightclub, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Nice, man. I'm pumped. I'm
like,
really pumped
it was
to hear
just,
that. Analog wasn't too bad of a club.
No, yeah. It wasn't even, like, the club. And, you know, it wasn't too bad of a club. It was funny because I'd actually never been to that club before. But it was just, I love the focus on it and the fact that, you know, he just literally hopped on the decks with the other DJ. And also, like, we got to give a shout out. Do you remember the name of who opened?
Oh, dude, I really don't know. I think it was like AKKI or something, like Aki or something like that.
Yeah, she was great.
I forgot, though. Yeah, she smashed it, dude. Smashed it, yeah.
She absolutely crushed it, you know? So, like, that made it even better. Like, the opener was great. And then, you know, I it's just, again, like, it's just the song selection was just on point and just it was just great. It was amazing. And, like, you know, he played some, like, awesome edits out and stuff, you know? Like, it wasn't just, it was not a boring set whatsoever. You know, and he's right. Just an absolute mastermind at building the crowd up and stuff and keeping people into it. But, like, I was never bored during that set. And, you know, he absolutely killed it. I went nuts for it, but I thought it was just awesome when he played, you know, gotta give a shout out here. He played a Hannah Wants song, you know, and I was just like, that was just freaking awesome because, you know, this is like, that's much more of like a tech house song. You know?
Yeah.
And I just went, like, nuts when he played that because I thought that was just really cool that he's supporting, you know, some of these more, you know, lesser... I mean, she's very well known in the UK, but I don't think in the US she's very big yet. But
totally,
you know,
agreed.
Definitely, listeners, if you're from the US and you haven't really listened to it, go listen to it. You know, you'll be surprised by the amount of views. But, you know, seems like she's friends with Chris Lorenzo. So they have quite a few songs and collabs together, and they've even done a couple back-to-back. So definitely go check her out. And just thank you, Charmy, for an absolutely unbelievable night and making my New York trip, you know, back home with my boys really memorable.
For sure, dude, for sure. Yeah, I mean, at first I wasn't going to go because it was a Thursday night, but I'm really, really glad that I went. And just really, really wonderful night. And thanks to our squad, too, you know, who got together, and we just had a great time with everybody, and great time at Analog as well. So... really, definitely. Really, you know, we're riding high on these positive emotions right now, man. But we gotta switch gears, man. We gotta switch gears.
Whew.
Let's warm up. Let's get a little negative here, baby. We're gonna go right into it. The anti-plur moment. And man, I, you know, this week I hope people really don't take offense to this one. That's not a great way to introduce this section. But you know what? This Alec and I like to push boundaries here. So let's talk about moshing real quick. And I feel like half of our listeners are gonna be like, "Oh yeah, dude, moshing, yeah, fuck moshing." And half of our listeners are gonna be like, "What the hell, man? Alec and Samir are talking shit about moshing." No, that's not what we're doing. Okay, Alec, I'm sure you would agree with me on this, right? We are not moshers.
No, I'm definitely not. And like, you know, I'm definitely, you know, absolutely all for it. But, you know, just when it's right, you know, I'm not a mosh.
For sure.
Like, even if it's in during like a really hard bass set or dub set rhythm, whatever you want, you know, like that, it makes sense. And I get it for right. Like I get the purpose of it and I get why people find it fun. Right. And, you know,
right.
it's nice to see actually in a lot of mosh pits is, you know, there's a real like camaraderie with it, and people, you know, there's
yes.
like rules, like people pick each other up and stuff, or say sorry
yes.
if someone goes too hard. Love all that. That's fine, and I totally get that. But I've seen, and there have been times where people are moshing to like music that just should not be moshed to, right? And
like
I just
house.
I don't understand the need. I remember seeing it was like basically a tech house set, and they're like moshing, and I'm like, what in the holy hell are you doing?
Right, man. It's not the vibe. It's not the place for that, you know. And it's just, it's pissing people off, and you're kind of crushing other people's vibes and other people's good times, you know? And Alec, I completely agree with you, dude. Love the camaraderie at like dubstep and bassy shows, you know, where people are, you know, throwing each other around, having a good time, you know, and they'll help each other up if somebody falls down. Love that. Love to see that, man. But for fuck's sake, like it doesn't belong at like a house music show.
No, not at all.
You know?
Not at all. It just really isn't that. Like, it's not the right music for it, you know. And there are people who are just trying to actually dance, you know, like dance in a, you know, either shuffle, do whatever. And it's just, it just puts off people's rhythm and beats and distracts
right.
from it, you know. And it just doesn't make any sense for me to see people moshing that type of music. You know what I mean? Like, you know, get like a
right.
shuffle circle going or something like that. Like, that's a
yeah.
lot better.
Love
for,
that.
I love it when people do that. And I love, you know, that's why I like being towards the back, because it's just so awesome seeing people like break off like that.
Right,
you know?
Man. Exactly.
That's how
but
you
see like shuffle circles. I feel
right.
like they're like, you won't see people shuffling at like a dubstep show because it doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work at all. So like, why would you mosh at like a tech house, you know, show, or like during a tech house set, or like a house music set? It doesn't work.
Okay, I'm going to start, you know, something here. Like, you know what? Challenge accepted. I want to see people, you know, we'll see if this could happen. I mean, I'll give it a shot when I try. But I want to see people try to shuffle at dubstep. I want to just see people
Bro.
Attempt to shuffle # dubstep shuffle. Like, it's just, I mean... Like, challenge
You're starting
accepted.
A movement, man.
Well,
yeah,
I don't think we get enough listeners for that, but you know, maybe hopefully
yeah.
I could dream. But I would just be really, just to make a point, just like, don't, you know, just don't. I mean, not that bothers anybody, but it's just like, you know, keep, you got to dance in a way that's, you know, conducive to the genre, and also just moshing.
Right.
Like, bear in mind, like, you know, shuffling doesn't really bother anyone necessarily, right? Unless you're trying to do it right at the front and no one's shuffling or whatever, and you know, you're
yeah.
bumping into people and you're doing
yeah.
it in a drunk way. But moshing, on the other hand, when it's not in the right environment, in the right place, it really does bother people, and it distracts from the show, and you know, people get worried about throwing, you know, people in, getting thrown in, getting caught in the middle of it when they just don't want to be a part
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
You know, so when you go to a dubstep show and you're down in, like, you know, the pits, right, and you're towards the front, like, you know what to expect. You know, people understand that that is a thing that happens at these shows. And it's fine. Like, there's a place for it. But at house music, where it's just not aggressive like that, you know, like, the way to release energy, I get it. You want to release energy. You know, just go, like, shuffle or something. I don't know. It's just, you know, you just got to do it in the right place.
Love it, man. Now, great points, Alec. And listeners who are listening to our anti-player moment, hopefully you guys aren't, you know, too offended by what we're saying here. We're just saying that there's a time and place for everything. And I don't think that you'd want to see... I don't think that shuffling would make sense at a dubstep show. And I don't think that moshing would make sense at, like, a house music show. You know what I mean? So just keep that in mind, you know. Just be mindful of other people's vibes and their energies and, you know, how they're responding to what you're doing, you know?
Definitely.
Like, I remember this one time, real quick, before we move on. I remember this one time, like, during a world show, like, one of the first world sets by Porter Robinson, like, a beautiful live show. People were moshing during
it.
And Porter Robinson, bro, there is a clip on Twitter or, like, on YouTube somewhere with Porter calling them out and was just like, dude, like, stop moshing. Like, this is not music to mosh to.
Yo, this isn't moshing music. Respect everyone around you, please.
Man, that was so funny, because it's so true. You know, there's a time and place for everything. But,
Unbelievable. I mean, oh God,
yeah.
That's even worse, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Like, that's much
yeah,
worse
dude.
Than
Can
house.
You imagine, like, Oh my god, like Fellow Feeling is on and like the strings are going and people are just like moshing to Fellow Feeling. Like, what the hell is going on here, man? Oh god.
Oh dear Lord. People, come it. On. What's going on, people?
Yeah, you guys know better than that. But moving on. Alec, this was a great, great week for some new music releases, man. What are we listening to this week, Alec? Give it to me hot.
I tell you what, so this was something, again, kind of like a little bit out of the blue, right? But Flume's Hi, This Is Flume mixtape. I really, really, really enjoyed this. You know, not just because it was out of the blue, and I am definitely a fan of Flume. I like to see he's clearly growing as an artist, and I think he just did a great job, you know. And what's funny is that, you know, we were talking about mixing rap into music, right? And I think it was like the second or third track he played out was like a rap, was like this, like almost, it was this grime. It was basically, I don't know if he's a grime artist. Grime, for listeners that don't know, grime is a style of rap that's is very popular right now in the UK. It's like, you know, Stormzy, you know, that type of stuff. So it wasn't really grime, but he kind of had... maybe he's done a few grime songs. He just kind of has that voice, you know, you can tell. But it was really cool how he threw that in there with you know, some just a little bit heavier trap at first, right? I mean, it was really interesting.
Yeah, dude, when this mixtape started, I mean, you can already tell that, like, you were locked in and you were ready to go, you know? Because he came out swinging in this mixtape. And what's great is, like, while he came out swinging... So here's how I think this mixtape kind of evolved, right? Throughout, like, about the 45-minute runtime it was. He came out swinging with, like, a trap song that is kind of similar to what we're used to hearing kind of in today's music, but with his own kind of twisted in elements into it. I think it was to kind of like lure people in, but then he slowly kind of divulged into like his unique ability to create, you know, just these incredible sounds that you're not going to be hearing from many other artists at all, you know? So, and then he would combine it with, like you said, some rap artists and, you know, some lyrics in there, which for me, it was hit or miss when it came to those tracks. But I was really enjoying how this mixtape kind of all, you know, flowed into each other. Mm-hmm. I love how all these songs kind of flowed into each other. And, you know, somebody had made a good point on Reddit. Do not listen to this mixtape on shuffle. Don't do that because you're not going to get the full effect of it. Listen to it, you know, on YouTube if you can, because there's a whole kind of visualizer component to it that is, you know, set to this mixtape, or at least listen to it, you know, from beginning to end with no skips and just letting it run through. But dude, some of these tracks are just absolutely, absolutely incredible, man. Like the song that he did with Sophie Voices, I was a huge fan of that one. But my favorite song probably was the one that he did with EEPROM at the end called Spring. Oh my god, dude, loved that song. It has been on nonstop repeat for a long time for me. You know, High Beams is another good song. The one with like all the emojis on it, I don't like, there's literally no name for it. It's literally just all emojis. And listeners, you'll see if you click on the link in our show notes, you'll see it. But man, this was so cool, man. This is so cool.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I was a big fan of it. I just, again, like, you know, we're talking about people being creative, people doing things, you know, that are not necessarily normal and just evolving. Like, this is, you know, I wonder what, you know, his plans are, you know, from now on, because he has, you know, he's been relatively quiet, right? You know, so I'm going to be very, very intrigued to see it. But this was just a really great, it was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah, for sure, man. And we're going to get to rating this mixtape in a little bit here, but let's quickly, before we get into the rating component of this section, Matt Zoe, dude, another great release from Matt Zoe. Tracing Steps is his 4-track EP.
This was great.
Man,
this was
so good, dude. Yeah. Like, this is going to be such a positive section, I'll tell you, because I just can't even begin to tell you how pleasantly surprised I was with Matt Zoe's newest release. Because the thing is with Matt Zoe is like, you never know what to expect from him. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't really conform to a single type of genre, but the Tracing Steps EP, beautiful from beginning to end, really enjoyed every track that was on here.
Yeah, me, I couldn't agree more. I really liked, I mean, to be honest, you know, this was just, you know, I really did like everything. You know, I don't know about you, if you had a particular favorite, but you know, I actually really liked Heat Wave.
Yep, that was definitely up there for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I can necessarily say I liked one more than the other. I was just, you know, very much impressed. And, you know, as you said before, like, you just don't really know what you're going to get from him. Right. But this was just awesome. It was just, I really liked this. I've actually had this, like, you know, I've downloaded this for my flight because I just wanted to listen to it again. It's just
nice,
like,
dude. Nice.
Yeah, I really liked it. I was not expecting to, I actually didn't expect to, you know, I do, I've always liked him, but I didn't expect to, you know, like this as much as I did. And I think actually each time I listen to it, it grows on me a little bit more.
I love that. I really do, man. And yeah, pumped. Let's get right into it, man. Listeners, for those of you guys who are just joining us on the show, all right, we have a rating scale here at Beyond the Beats, and I'm just going to quickly run through it. And, you know, if you have already heard this before, feel free to skip it. It's the same rating scale that we've been using. So it goes level 1 through 5, with 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Level 1 is what we call level 1 is called One Listen. And One Listen is where Alec and I will probably pick up a piece of music. We'll listen to it once, but that'll probably be the only time that we listen to it. But we encourage our listeners to also give it a listen and formulate your own opinions. So level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. And it's where a piece of music comes on. You don't mind if it's in the background. You're doing your own thing. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You know, whatever. You're not going to make an attempt to skip it. It's just there to keep you company. So that's level 2, background noise. Level 3 is turn it up. This is pretty self-explanatory, but when a piece of music comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob, you're going to crank it up, going to blast it out. So level 3 is turn it up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music from an artist and it compels you to want to look up their tour dates and to find tickets of when they're coming to your city next. And level 5 is speechless. Speechless is where it's just you and the music. Everything else kind of falls away, melts away, and that's all that you can see and that's all that you can focus on. So just going through it one more time, level 1 through 5, level 1 is One Listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Alec, what did you think of the High This Is Flume mixtape?
I'm gonna give it a just bought tickets, level 4.
Nice, dude. Nice.
Definitely. That for me, it's a no-brainer. I'm just really excited to see what he's doing. Glad to see him again, like, kind of getting more back out onto the circuit. You know, and he's young. Like, I you know, he's still
yeah,
really
he's
young.
A young guy.
You know, so yeah. That this is just, I'm really excited to see. I mean, it's almost like I just didn't think he was as young as he was, right? But I'm just really excited to see that, and I would definitely love to see more of this type of stuff from him.
For sure, dude. I'm right there with you. This is gonna be a just bought tickets, easily a just bought tickets, man. Just Flume has that creativity that is really, really just unparalleled by many of the artists that are in this game, and I hope we get a chance to see him live. For the Matt Zoe Tracing Steps EP, this is going to be another one. This is going to be another Just Bought Tickets for me. This week we've just had some solid releases, and Matt Zoe's creativity and just how you never know what to expect from him is what really compels me to want to buy tickets to see him when it comes to our cities next.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to give him a... just bought tickets. No, I'm not going to go for speechless. I won't. But
whoa, dude! I can't believe you were teetering with the speechless, man.
No, I wasn't really teetering with it. I just, you know, no, I just. Wanted...
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. No, but I tell you what, though, it was, you know, it wasn't speechless level, but it's you know, no decimal points, but it's a high just bought tickets. All right, like a high just bought tickets. You know, it made me, this was really something that, you know, I've always wanted to see him, but this was like, for me, this was really a true deciding factor of like, okay, I need to see him when he's next in town. You know, that's for sure. What this was for me. And that's why, you know, I'm saying that it's a pretty high just bought tickets, because it really is, just as the name of the rating scale, you know, entails, this was something that was like, okay, if he's around, I'm definitely going to buy tickets and go see him.
Love that, dude. Love that. Yeah, great, you know, pieces of music that we got a chance to talk about here in the What Are We Listening To section. But let's move into now probably one of our favorite sections of the show, the artists that we're watching section. Alec, you found somebody super, super interesting here, man. Or actually, not even just something, like a record label, right?
Yeah, I've found a record label that is really, it really is, you know, piqued my interest. And, you know, you could just tell that French, you know, house, French G house is really on right now. And this is no exception here. There's this label called Noir Sur Blanc, and it's something that it's still pretty small. You know, these are pretty small. Like, if you go on their Facebook page, you know, they've only got around 6,000 people, you know, who have liked them, right? But they're actually hosting a stage. I've never heard of this festival, because, but it's called the E-Wax Festival. You know, I haven't
heard of it, but they actually are hosting a whole stage there. And there's some pretty big name people going who's playing there. On the main stage, they've got Elenium, Kashmir, Oliver Heldens, Brohug, Tony Romero, Valentino Khan. Like, this is like a, you know, this is a little festival that, you know, that is definitely pretty well. And so it's really cool to see that they have, and they're hosting a stage there. And there's a guy that you might have heard of because he's really starting to make way right now with a lot of support from the Confession label. There's a guy called Koos, K-O-O-S, and you might know him before he did a remix of Charmy's World to Me and a remix of Cash Money. That is awesome. But those are not actually the songs I'm going to play from him. You know, I'll play you a little clip of one of his songs right here. This is one of his own originals that I really like, and you've got this kind of like, you know, confession house, bass house vibe. It's called Things by Koos. Take a listen. Meditated on all the
Yeah, dude, I could totally see why, you know, I could totally see how he fits into like the French house sound, and I love that sound. Like this track is awesome, man. Thank you so much for sending this over to me, dude. It's so weird how this guy Koos has like barely any listeners or any followers.
Well,
man.
So Koos has like some more, right? But like not as much as you would think he will. He's been blowing up recently. Yeah. The other song that I definitely wanted to play, but you know, we won't have time to do it here, is probably, I think it's the song that you might be thinking of that I sent you. Like, I just couldn't find, you know, anything on this guy. Like, he's just not done really anything, but he only has like, you know, this guy, it's, hold on a second. It's going to come to me right now. It's called, that's it. His name is GVMMV. It's called Make the Crowd. Yeah, right. It's called Make the Crowd Go. And he has like 13 listeners on Spotify. So, you know, Koos has definitely got a little bit more. Sorry for the switch up on that one.
Yeah, I was about to send you that song.
No, it's very easy too. Like, I understand that totally. Like, but he's really just, I'm really excited to see what's going on. So definitely go check out this record label, listeners. Like, if you're into the, you know, kind of darker French house vibes, you know, I really hope I could connect and find with somebody who's seen some of these people live, because I really want to know what's going on here. But they're steadily climbing. You know, you can find them on SoundCloud is probably the best way. They have the most of their music. It's called Noir Sur Blanc. They have around 15,000 followers. You can go there, and they've got a bunch of tracks from people I know that you definitely would not have heard of, but it's very high quality underground French house music. And Koos is probably their most popular, and I hope I'm saying that name right again, but you know, I hope I'm saying it right, but he's definitely the most popular. But go check out that other guy that I was mentioning, GVMMV, and try getting to release some more music, because I really like his style
for sure. Yeah,
definitely.
Well, we'll have links to these guys, you know, in our show notes as well, listeners, so you guys can definitely go check out, you know, the music that we're talking about here.
Definitely.
But dude, thank you so much for introducing me to this label. I love French house, so I'm definitely going to be checking these guys out more. But Alec, I want to talk to you about this guy who I was so pumped to find, man. His name is Safaro. He's from Canada. He's got about 4,200 followers on SoundCloud. I wasn't able to find him on Instagram, but he's got a Facebook and he's got a Twitter where he's got a couple hundred followers on there. But what I love about him, and maybe this is the nostalgia that's like really playing into my feelings for him, but what I love about him is that he combines future house and complexstro, which is one of the genres that really got me into electronic music when I was first getting into it, probably in like the 2010, 2011 time. And I'm going to play a clip of this track called Style here for you. Check it out.
Dude, you know, wow. I really enjoy the blend here.
Yeah.
I love how future bass is really, you know, mixed in here. You know, like, it's just so, like, it's something, I'm actually not going to lie, you know, I think I haven't really heard something too similar to this.
Me neither, man. That's why I loved it so much, right? And, Alec, I think I talked to you a little bit about this before, but, like, future bass is, like, a genre that I find is, like, it's too much of it. You know what I mean? There's too much of it. But it's really, really cool to hear somebody who's like breathing fresh air into this genre, which I think has gone kind of stale since like 2015. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like this is something that's gone stale, but he's really like, I think this guy could be kicking it into gear. You know, I don't know how much you know about.
For sure.
You know, but like, this is something I'm definitely like, I'm actually pretty, you know, pumped up to see more stuff from this.
I don't think he's managed by anybody either. So I don't think he's like under management or anything like that. I think he's like still, you know, designing his own theme and his own branding and putting out his own releases and things like that. So just really, really cool to see what this guy's up to. But yeah, I'm pumped to hear more from him.
Absolutely. Dude, I think this was just like, you know, this is definitely, I'm glad we were able to fit this in, you know, listeners, we just wanted to get something out for you, you know, and, as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. You know, if anyone's got, you know, videos just quickly from Beyond Wonderland, I'd love to see that. Please, if anyone has some Cascade D&B stuff, please send that in. I would absolutely love to see that. But, you know, all the artists that we've mentioned, you know, definitely go check them out, give them a follow. Like, you know, I think it's more important than ever to give the people that deserve to be heard, you know, give them some listens, give them some views, you know, show them some support, because there's a lot of very talented people out there that don't quite get the credit that they deserve. Well, hey, dude, it was great seeing you, and listeners, it was great, you know, having you listen to our voices through the airwaves of podcasting. So we'll be back next week with episode 10. As always, give us a follow on our Instagram at btb.pod. From there, you can click on the link and you can find us on all our other platforms too. Give us a listen. We'll be posting, you know, all the show notes and everything. And we can't wait to be talking to you guys again. Thank you so much.